when I was seeking the Lord of what to talk about, and you know, I was looking, I see these fireplaces everywhere, and these wood stoves, and all these fires burning, and these stacks of wood that have been cut and split and stacked and ready for use. And when I was looking at that, the Lord reminded me of something sometimes we fail to recognize when we see all that. It was the tool, it was the axe, the axe that the man used or the woman used to split the wood. You know, for an axe to be an effective and be useful, it needs to be sharpened. And for an axe to be sharp, you got to be willing to allow it to suffer loss on the grindstone. Because unless it suffers loss on the grindstone, it is never sharpened, and it isn't as good of use as a dull axe don't work as good as a sharp one does. And in the same manner, you and I, as children of God, have been called to be servants of God. And we, like the axe, have to be willing to suffer loss through the trials and tests of life that make you and I sharper. When I was looking at that, the Lord took me to Isaiah 10. I'm just going to start in the first verse, the first sentence of Isaiah 10:15. When he speaks about an axe, he says, "Shall the axe boast itself against him that heweth therewith?" In other words, there was a question posed. You know, in other words, you and I are like axes in the master's hand. We're not boasting as the axe. We're boasting because whose hand we're in. You know, the things that we're doing for the kingdom of God and for his glory. And as a vessel, as like an axe, as a tool, we need to allow God to sharpen us so that we're more effective for the kingdom of God. And you know the Bible says in Proverbs 27:17, Solomon says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so doeth a man sharpeneth the countenance of a friend." Amen. In other words, when I was looking at this, what God was showing me is no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation that we are going through in life, that all things work together for the good to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purpose. So we've got to allow the things that we go through to sharpen us, to make us more effective. The axe I'm speaking about is not to tear another down. We're not chopping someone down with this axe. It's just as a illustration that we can relate to so that we can take the word and apply the word to our hearts and lives and allow everything that we go through in life to better us, not worsen us.
That's true. Amen.
Amen. So as we're looking at this, when I was reflecting upon that, the Lord took me to Acts 28. So turn with me to Acts 28. And the Apostle Paul is in Rome, where he's under house arrest. He's going to be there about approximately 2 years. And while he was under house arrest, it would be like in the modern day, you would have an anklet on or whatever you call it, a monitoring device to see if you left the house or not. But the Apostle Paul had a guard chained to him. So he is confined to this house. He is not allowed to leave the premises, but the Lord still opens the windows and doors of opportunity for the Apostle Paul to further the kingdom of God. Because Paul had allowed his heart and life to be sharpened by the trials and testings that he was going through. I'm sure it wasn't a hayride for Paul when he's on his road, he's a prisoner, to be confined to this house. So I want to begin reading at verse number 20 of Acts 28. It says, "For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you because at the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. And they said unto him, we neither received letters out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, but we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest, for as concerning this sect or Christianity, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. And some believed the things which were spoken, and some believed not. I want to focus your attention to verse number 23, where it says, and when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him and to his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. The title of this morning's message is simply Confined But Not Contained. Confined but not contained. We find that the Apostle Paul expounded, he explained, he exposed, and he expanded the kingdom of God. Amen. So let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of his word. Can we lift the word together and make a declaration in the house today? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word, and we're so grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to do. So, Father, I pray right now that Carl gets out of the way. Again, as the prophet Isaiah prayed, Father God, that you send the angel to the altar and within tongs and take those coals and place those coals upon these lips, Lord, because I'm a man of unclean lips. Purify the words that come forth out of this mouth today. May every word that comes forth edify this body. May that bring them exhortation and comfort. And Father God, when all is said and done, you'll receive all glory, honor, and praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. You know, I'm thinking about again, you know, I'm thinking about Paul and through the fire of testing, through the fire of trials. Amen. And his total trust in the Lord Jesus, that he had had an encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus. He had a revelation of the Lord. He had something that turned his life upside down. He came to a place where it was no longer his life didn't have value anymore. The life he lived now was for the King of Kings and for the Lord of Lords. And all of a sudden, the same people that were out to crucify him, like Jesus was crucified, are the same people that he's going to start ministering to. Some of them didn't even realize that they were Paul's enemy yet. The news hadn't totally got to Rome. And they hadn't have all the information yet. He's a little before the storm. Because God had a purpose and God had a plan. And one of the things that the Lord really showed me about this is no matter what situation or circumstance you find yourself in, God has a purpose and God has a plan. That doesn't mean that God brings everything your way. The enemy brings things your way. The enemy comes out to kill, steal, and destroy. But in the midst of God, in the midst of that, God will turn it around and use it for his glory. So all of a sudden, what was taking place with the Apostle Paul, man, I love learning from Paul. I don't know about you, but I'd rather learn from him than go through it by me, you know. I'd rather him be under house arrest than me be under house arrest. I'd rather him be facing death than me facing death, be honest with you, just be transparent, you know. So in other words, all this is written for our example and an admonition that we can learn from what God's already done through others so that we don't have to go through it ourselves. You know, I want to learn from this lesson that Paul is showing us. Paul is showing us that man, he wasn't in the best place, but the Lord was still opening up a door. Amen. And sometimes you may find yourself in a situation and it seems like every door had closed. Doesn't seem like anything was happening. And God said, nope, it's not over. There's a door. Amen. There's a door of opportunity. You know, what he first did is he expounded. In other words, he took them from right where they were. He saw them right where they were and he built on where they were at. In other words, to take somebody, to transform somebody's life and to help somebody, you've got to have revelation of where they are. You know where God wants to take them, but you can't take them here to there. All right? Amen? In other words, he knew what they knew, and now he was going to build off of what they already know. Look with me in John chapter 16. John 16. This is Jesus in verse 25 speaking. He says, these things have I spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. In other words, the disciples that were walking with Jesus didn't have any more revelation than we do sometimes. And the parables and the stories that Jesus was telling. Because the natural man does not understand the things of God. They are foolishness to him because they're spiritually discerned. But he is saying to them, hey, in his whole teaching in 14, 15, and 16, he's talking about the Comforter. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the one that's going to come to help. And he says, when this one comes, this one is going to help you to have revelation, is going to help you to have understanding. Now I'm talking to you in stories and parables, but soon you're going to see the Father plainly because you're going to see the Father was with you the whole time. Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are one. They're three in one, but they're one. So when I see Jesus, I see the Father. When I see the Holy Spirit, I see the Father. When I see the Father, I see Jesus, and I see the Holy Spirit. They're all one. And he said, you're going to plainly see because the eyes of your understanding are going to be enlightened. Amen? Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 1. So here's Jesus speaking. But all of a sudden in Luke 24, this is after Jesus died, after Jesus arose from the dead. He's walking amongst his disciples again. And Jesus says in Luke 24, verse number 27, in the beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them and all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In other words, remember what we're talking about. Paul, the Apostle Paul, is expounding on the word to the Jews. The Jews were familiar with the law of Moses and the prophets. So what the apostle is going to do is he's going to build off of what they already know. He's going to teach them, just as Jesus said in 24:27, when Jesus sat down and taught them, remember, he said, but when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall bring to remembrance all these things whatsoever I have said unto you. He's meeting them on the way. And all of a sudden, there's a revelation that's coming back. Now, the Holy Spirit's going to bring to remembrance some things. So when Paul, for example, the Apostle Paul, in his encounter on the road to Damascus, he's going to stand up and boldly preach Jesus from the Old Testament. He isn't speaking out just the gospel of grace of the New Testament. He's expounding on what they already understood, and he's giving them a deeper revelation of it. You know, he's taking it into a deeper level. So that's why we come in. We said, iron sharpeneth iron, so do a man sharpeneth the countenance of another. We sharpen it with the word. Amen? With having revelation and having understanding in the Word. So even on this starting this coming Wednesday night, when we start teaching on the Holy Spirit, I'm going to teach out of the Holy Spirit of the Old Testament, not the New Testament. We're so familiar with the Holy Spirit of the New Testament. God wants you to have revelation and understanding of the the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit was all the way from the beginning in Genesis. He was moving upon the waters. You know, the Holy Spirit was at work at the beginning too. We get so caught up after the day of Pentecost, but we really don't have revelation of who the Holy Spirit is. Amen? That's another message that I'm not preaching here. But in this scripture text, Jesus met them. He's walking on the earth for 40 days, right? He's walking with them. And then they said that in verse 32 of Luke 24, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked? While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. In other words, their heart burned within them. It was like that fire that Jeremiah had. Amen. Jeremiah said it was like fire shut up in my bones and I couldn't forbear. Amen. And all of a sudden when that revelation and that understanding came, all of a sudden the word began to become life. You know, have you ever heard a story before and you can vaguely understand the story, but you might kind of get it, but you don't fully get it. And then all of a sudden a light bulb goes off. And you say, well, man, how did I miss that? But the same is true with the scriptures and with the word of God. You know, as what Paul was doing is he was teaching them that everything that was already spoken was coming to pass. You know, he said the law wasn't abolished in Christ Jesus, it was fulfilled. You know, so we can't just focus on the New Testament and not the Old because it's the Old. You know, truthfully, it's the law that teaches us right or wrong. It's the grace that gives us mercy. Amen? Amen? So it's both parts. It's black, red, white, and all in between. Amen? And when I was looking at this and with the Apostle Paul, he took me to a couple of friends of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 18. So turn with me to Acts chapter 18 a moment. Paul had some partners in the tent business. His partners was a husband and wife team, Aquila and Priscilla. They were spirit-filled man and woman, but they're standing and they're listening to Apollos speak, and Apollos was eloquent in speech. He was a fireball. Amen. And we find in verse number 24 of Acts 18, it says that a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Remember, the baptism of John. John was coming to prepare the way of the Lord. Amen? He came to preach repentance, okay? And, you know, then Jesus came to preach acceptance. Jesus Christ alone. You know, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. So in other words, John the Baptist was preceding him, telling them to turn their hearts to the Lord, and then as they turned their hearts, they had to receive the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Amen. In other words, he expounded a little more clearly to him, so he had a deeper understanding. So he could give a deeper revelation, so that he could relate to others a deeper revelation of our Lord and Savior. You know, we could walk around and say, if you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And we could just stand on that and think, but there's no growth, there's no revelation, there's no understanding. You know, and so what God wants us to do is to continue to learn and grow in the things of God. Amen? Amen? In other words, there isn't a time that I do not open the Word of God that God does not show me something I didn't know before. Every time. He will show you and I something new every time. Sometimes he says things to me, I just get a word, and then I have to search. It's sort of like the hidden treasures that are buried in the Word. It's sort of like, he's not hiding it from me, but it's sort of like the game hide and go seek. In other words, some things are hidden in the Scripture that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you that apply to our hearts and lives. And just as you fervently, as you played that game as a child, when you were seeking the one that was hiding, you know, sometimes when I can't find it, I have to just say, Ollie, income free. Is that how it goes? I don't know. In other words, I gotta say, Lord, I didn't find it. Help me. I still need his help. And then the times when I think that I can do it on my own and I can find it myself, I go search and I find something, but it isn't really what he really had intended for me to see. So, you know, I think it's like with those disciples that he met along that Jesus met after he arose from the dead, when he started teaching out of the law of Moses and other prophets, there was something that started burning within them. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, and God, that's another thing. God will never make us do nothing.
No.
You know?
Right.
He is going to make you do a thing. Just like what he calls us. Isn't it? What is that song? Softly and tenderly.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, oh, come home.
Now, when I think about that, I think of it. You know, I see this this little bell outside of this farmhouse, and the farmer's out working in the fields. And Mama's done prepared him her husband a meal, and she goes out and rings that bell. Come home. It's supper time. It's supper time. It's supper time. And I believe that's what the Lord, it says to us, come home, it's supper time. This is the bread of life. This is what we eat on. This is what we dine on. Come on and dine. Come on and eat. Come, you ain't got no money. You ain't got to have money to get this.
Amen.
God gives it to you and I freely. Amen. He doesn't hold back anything good from the children that he loves. He loves you. He ain't going to hold nothing back. Amen. I mean, I can see that farm lady, and she done made her man some victuals. She done whipped up some potatoes and got some meat on there. Got a side of vegetable, made him some homemade bread. Got him a little pie sitting in the window just cooling off. Amen. Oh, it's so good. Amen. It's so good. It's so good to dine at the master's table. Amen. It's good to dine at the master's table because he has only good things. I can't imagine eating anything that comes from the master's table that did not taste good. Amen. Amen. It did not taste good. I bet it's good to the taste. And when a man knows his wife and his wife knows the man, she knows exactly what he likes. She makes it to please him. My wife pleases me, man. I'm a spoiled man. Amen. She knows what I like. She knows what I don't like. And all right, so she makes me some good stuff. To me, it's good. To you, it might not be. But to me, she meets my taste. And that's the way the master is with you and I. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, this isn't to be hard. You know, this isn't to be hard. See, the adversary wants you to believe that it's difficult, that it's hard. Well, it's not. You know, he doesn't want you eating. He wants you to spiritually starve to death. Amen. Yeah, he wants you to continue to drink milk. And let me tell you something. I have a little grandson right now. That's a little 3 over, almost 4 months old. And he's still on milk. And he's still being fed milk. And when does the doctor say to take him off of milk? 6 months. Why? What's to take place? Solid. No, what's to take place? What happens to determine when he goes from milk to meat? He's still, in other words, if he ceases to grow, if an infant ceases to grow, you move him to the next formula. You move him to the meat. You move him to something weightier to help him grow. And the same thing is true with the Word of God. If you continue to keep drinking milk, you're not growing. You're at that same place because you haven't started eating the deep things and the meat of God. You know, and God wants to give you strong meat to help you grow and go to the next level. Amen. He doesn't want you to walk around as babies and infants getting beat up and tossed around by the adversary at his will. Amen. You know, when we say faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we're here to increase our faith so we can walk in victory. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. So what Paul was saying to the Jews, he was saying, hey, I'm going to go back to what you know. I'm going to expound and I'm going to testify. You know, in Acts chapter 4, verse number 20, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Listen to me. Every last person in the room has a testimony. Every last person has a testimony. You remember that? You don't remember when? Well, if you started here with someone, you told them, you whispered something to your ear, and they told this person, they told this person, and they told this person, and they told this person. See, that's what's happened. With the problem with the world is everyone's telling someone else's testimony, and they're not telling it the way what originally was. They've added to it, they've taken away from it, and each of us have a testimony. A lot of people will quote what authors said. This author said this, and this author said that. But they leave something out. They add something to it. So it wasn't really the truth of what was said. Amen? And that's what's happened in the world. So many people are caught more with the hearsay than with the truth. Because if I tell you a story, and you go tell someone else my story, you're not going to tell that story the same way you heard it. And then when that next person tells a story, they're not going to tell it the way they heard it. So we got just the facts. It's just like Dragnet, just the facts, man. Dragnet, that goes way back, shows you where I'm from. Any other Dragnet men and women in here or Dragnet? You don't have to raise your hand. I already know who you are. Hallelujah. No. Hey, yeah. I'm aging gracefully. Hallelujah. Yeah, I used to have a big chest, and now I have a belly. It's gravitational pull. The earth has been pulling me down for all these years. It's trying to pull me in the grave. It keeps pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling. All of a sudden, your face starts dragging down. Everything starts dragging down because gravity keeps pulling and pulling and pulling. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, we're going to get off the gravity here. But in Acts chapter 5, verse 32, the Word of God says, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God have given to them that obey him." You know, God has given us the Holy Ghost, man. You know, and that's why we can speak the Word of God, because it's the Holy Ghost that brings remembrance to Scripture. So Paul, David says, "I meditated upon thy word so I would not sin against you, Lord." So when as I'm meditating, as I'm digesting, as I'm eating the word, I'm learning and I'm speaking the word. And if you're not memorizing Scripture, you're hurting yourself. I don't know about you, but my Bible isn't always handy. You know, my Bible isn't always with me when I'm facing an adversary. You know, that's why he says that the Word of God is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Hallelujah. We're not cutting anybody up again. We're going to the Acts illustration. We're not cutting anybody up. We're being sharpened so that we can be better used. In other words, we're suffering through the trials and tribulations. We're being sharpened. Amen? So we're going to be better at the end. In Acts chapter 26, Paul says, when he was speaking to King Agrippa, he was testifying, he was explaining the word to him. Verse 22, he says, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come." In other words, Dr. Robert Ryrie did a research on the law of chance. In the law of chance, it would take 200 billion Earths with 4 million people on each one of those Earths to come up with 100 accurate prophecies. 200 billion Earths with 4 billion people on each Earth. And there's over 300 prophecies fulfilled in Christ's first coming alone. There ain't no chance. There's no happenstance. It's God's word. God spoke it and it became reality. It became truth. It became real. Thousands of years before it was prophesied what would take place to every last action that took place. And it was prophesied and fulfilled. You know, in other words, it's no accident. In other words, God's word will prove Christ Jesus.
That's true, amen.
God's word. And when I'm doing this, when Paul was inviting the Jews in and he was going to expound and explain God's word to them, he wasn't going to beat them up. Amen. What Paul said. Love. Love. And in other words, God is love. He's revealing them the truth through love. Amen. And even when someone disagrees with you, it's hard for them to get mad at you when you're doing it and operating in love. Some people can't respond to love. It's when I try to beat someone up with it, they get defensive. Our natural tendency is if you hit me, I'm going to hit you back. God says we're to turn our cheek, but sometimes I'll turn my cheek after I hit them back. Be honest. That's naturally what we want to do, right? Now, I don't know about you. If somebody comes up and slaps me, I got to reflect on the word really quick. I better hope I'm walking in the spirit. Because this flesh man's ugly. I have to go, wow! And right? So Paul again, he was taking them from where he found them. He was expounding on them more clearly, more giving them understanding of the word. So he expounded, he explained. All of a sudden now he exposed. He was persuading them. You see, when something becomes exposed, it becomes bare to us and revealed to us, all of a sudden, all of a sudden there's a light bulb that's going off on off in some of the heads of the ones that were gathered together. And remember what the Lord said in Mark chapter 1. Verse 50. Church, why are we, it's the end of 2013. Why are we looking at this today? Because God wants you to know there's no better way to start the new year than in God's word. And make resolve. Make a resolution. You know, we've all made New Year's resolution. But make a resolve to God to go deeper into God's word. You know, and make a resolve. Make a, you know, good habits are just as hard to break as bad ones are. You know, we can form some new habits. In other words, I'm going to make a resolve. And to me, a resolve is, Lord, I'm not going to promise you anything. I'm going to let my yeas be yea and my nay be nay. Lord, I'm going to do of my best of my ability to seek you more in the year to come. I'm going to do more to seek you so I can be that vessel that you can use for others, that as Paul was caught himself in a circumstance which nobody would want to be in, being imprisoned in his house, still let the love of God roll through his life. He still opened the scriptures and expounded on them. He explained them and he exposed the kingdom, because the word of God, Jesus came for this. And Mark 1:15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel. Amen? So that's the message. That's the message of the New Testament. You know, it was prophesied in the old. It's being revealed in the new. And it's becoming life in our lives, in each and every one of our lives. You know, each and every one of us are being better today because we're in the scripture. We're seeing the scripture. We're hearing the scripture. The Bible says in Revelation, blessed he that reads it, sees it, and hears it. Amen? So there's blessing that's coming your way. And you say, well, you know, why do I come to church? Because this is where we come and we discuss and we communicate God's word. Amen? God wants each and every one of us to grow. He wants us to grow deeper and deeper into the things of God. Amen? And I want you to understand something. As the day approaches and as the last hour and the last time comes, it's going to be worse and worse. There's some evil that's coming to this nation. There's evil here, but we haven't even witnessed the evil that's coming. God wants his church to be prepared. God wants his church to be ready. Amen? God wants us to be ready. That's why we're here. That's why we're talking about God's word. That's why that we're talking about what the Apostle Paul, the great example of a man of God, that was a man after God's heart, that even in the midst of trial, in the midst of tribulation, he allowed that to sharpen him. He began to expound on the word of God. He began to explain it. He began to expose the kingdom. And the word of God says in Luke 16, Jesus said in verse 16, the law of the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. In other words, the Apostle Paul, he was taking them from what they already knew and building upon it. He was helping them grow. He was expounding on the scriptures. He was explaining. He was exposing the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Amen? He was exposing the kingdom of good and the kingdom of evil. He was exposing the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. Amen? He was giving them understanding and revelation of how much God loved them. How much that he started teaching in the prophets and the law of Moses and the prophets, and they could never be good enough. They never could make it. Then all of a sudden, the word became flesh and dwelt among them. They beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Grace showed up. Grace that fulfilled everything that the law or the prophet said. You see, so what was he doing? He just took them where they were at. He expounded on the word. He explained it to them. He exposed. And then the kingdom of God was expanded. The Bible says, and some believed and some did not. Some believed and some did not. As I stand here today and preach the word, some will believe and some won't. As we go out and share the gospel, some will believe and some won't. But we're to continue to love them, just as the Apostle Paul knew that Jews were the chosen children of God. Amen. We've been grafted into the family of God. We've been grafted into the natural olive branch, but they're the natural branch. And he said if he did break it off and graft a new one in, won't he graft back in the old one? Amen. So the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Amen. So what Paul do? He said, the word of God says, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. He went to the Jew first, then to Judea, then to Samaria, then to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. So Paul was expanding the kingdom. And when I look at that in Romans chapter 10, in verse 13, the word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We know the scripture. I quote it all the time. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Even in our text in Acts 28, when some didn't believe, Paul quoted the prophet Isaiah. It said, with seeing they will not see, and hearing they will not perceive.
That's right.
Amen. And in other words, it was already spoken, but they said some believed. Amen.
Amen.
So what God is saying to you and I is, hey, if we're kingdom builders, we want to delve into the word of God. We want to get off milk. We want to get some strong meat. We want to grow. We want to delve into the word. There's got to be a burning desire. We have to want to learn. You know something? I know one thing. We can't make anybody do anything. You're only going to do what you want to do. All right? Amen? God would rather hear Jesus. God would rather hear his sheep instead of going, wah, wah, wah. He'd rather hear him say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Come on, sheep, let's grow up. Amen. Amen. You know, let's let this word become life in this place, man. I'm telling you what, that word of God, he wants it. You know, you want to see the glory of the Lord, you get in God's word and let that word be manifested in the house. He ain't going to do anything outside of his word. If he ain't going to do anything outside of his word, it pays you and I to pay attention to what he says. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hungry, desiring, wanting. So in closing today, what is God saying to you and I? Just like the Apostle Paul, you may find yourself in a situation where you're confined. You may find yourself in a place where you're limited, but you don't have to be contained. You know, the Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. You know, and what that speaks of, no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, there's a fountain of life that we have within us. because he is the resurrection and he is the life. Amen. And as we allow that word to meditate and permeate inside of us, and all of a sudden out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth's going to speak, and it's going to bring light to the situation. I'm sure that when these Jews came in to Paul and they saw Paul with this guard chained to his leg, and with this guard chained to his leg, Paul wasn't cursing his God for being in prison or being in this situation. He was glorifying the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the midst of his storm, in the midst of his trial, he glorified and expounded to them the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible says the kingdom of God suffer violent, and the violent take it by force. You know, I think it's time for us, the church, to start taking back some things that belong to the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. It's time for us to recognize who we are.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. When I was a young person, and a couple of years ago, in the youth group at our church, we were Christ ambassadors. And what you know we did as Christ ambassadors? We would travel around to different youth groups. And we'd have a contest where we would have between ministries that everyone was a winner, but of the things we learned in the Word of God, there would be like a game that they would play, and we all had buzzers that we rang, and you had the answers like truth or consequences or something of that nature. True, whatever, doesn't matter. But what we did, what it caused us to do, is study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? And that's what God is. You see, this isn't a game we're playing. But what God is challenging us to do as we close out this 2013 and we usher in this new year that's coming our way. Amen? That we choose to seek first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto us. Amen. In other words, let's not get all of the fluff and all the stuff in the way. You know, the Bible says that you're going to find the Lord when you seek him with your whole heart. Some of you are looking for answers. You're seeking God's guidance. You're seeking direction. And all he says, a whole heart. So in 2014, I'm going to just give you a heads up. I'm kicking off the 2014 with, just as there was a feast of Pentecost, there was 7 weeks, and then on the 50th day, the Holy Ghost came. We're going to kick off 2014 with a fast of weeks. We're going to be fasting and praying different directions in each week, and we're going to fast different things. But you're going to fast what the Lord leaves on your heart. Pastor ain't going to tell you what to fast. I'm just blowing a horn. I'm calling for assembly. I'm asking you to join with me. I'm asking you to join in prayer, because I know that prayer is going to change everything. Change prayer is going to change every circumstance. It's going to change every situation. It's going to change the way this ministry operates and what takes place in the presence of God. God wants to fill this house with his glory. He wants to fill it with his presence. He says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he has not changed. Amen. God wants us to want to come to church. You know, I don't want anybody to be here anymore for me. I want you to be here for God. Seek him. He has every answer you need. He's got it. Right there. Right there. And we look over here. We look over here. We look over here. He says, look to me. Look to me and just seek me with your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, just acknowledge me and I'll direct your path. Amen. Hey, God wants us to end 2013 with a bang and usher in 2014 with a heart of praise. Hallelujah. You know, I think if some of us have loved ones and family members that aren't serving the Lord, we got to start praising them into the kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Bow your heads and let us pray.